And then the Kryptonian says, I thought you were just singing a Carole King song.
Oh my god.
All right, let's get this started.
Oh, I gotta catch my breath. Play the theme song.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior! Welcome to the show!
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! It's the show!
I am Bri.
I'm Merc.
I'm Kyle.
And
we're your hosts for the next little while.
Oh, yeah. Man. If you want to hear that full joke from the...
No.
If you want to hear that full thing, go to our Patreon. Yeah. No, you know what? That was a once in a lifetime, cannot be repeated. Joke.
No, it
I
can't.
I hope you got that on
record. I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh
yeah.
God, I hope so. If we weren't, I'd be real disappointed. Yeah. Well, we got some news.
Yeah,
news.
Current Zero News Flash.
Okay, starting off the news. So Marvel has partnered with Scholastic. If you've been to school, you remember Scholastic.
You remember school.
You remember school, right? But you remember they'd have...
I've heard legends of it.
I remember it sucks.
Yeah.
S-U-X.
It's the cool way to spell it. They never taught me how to spell it right because I went to public school.
Pubic school? What? It's pubic school, thank you.
Yeah. You remember Scholastic book fairs?
Yes, I loved those.
It's a whole thing. They had them... I remember they would often do it, you figure they do it in like the library or the gym or something like that.
Yep.
They did it in a...
Washroom.
A change room. It was literally in a change room that no one used.
Awesome.
No one used the actual change rooms anymore, and they just had like tables and stuff stored in
what
there.
What school did you go to?
Sherbrooke School.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah,
open
you guys,
concept.
You guys had really cool jungle gym equipment, though.
We did. We had the Technodrome.
Yeah.
Like the big, like, thing you could climb. It was gray, and it was like, you could climb it, and it's like, oh, let's get the Technodrome. We also had, like, a long thing that we pretended was the turtle van. It was all Ninja Turtle themed all the time.
You had the dinosaur?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Which some people say is a snake. They're idiots.
They're idiots.
It has legs.
They are stupid morons.
Yep.
Our school was open concept and didn't have walls. I think they spent all the wall money on cool jungle gym equipment, and they were right to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They had the right priorities. Mm-hmm. 100%.
The wall money.
Anyway, I remember had Scholastic.
This is allocated wall money. But
this
we need floors. I'm sorry.
They could be using that for sideways roads.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they could.
They should be repaired.
That is a topical Thunder Major.
Yeah. Roads. Anyway, I remember when they had the book fairs, and it was often in an unused changing room, which is... Great. That's a great place to have a book fair.
Because you all just changed out in the open.
Yeah. Anyway, so Marvel has partnered with Scholastic to sell the Champions, the new Champions book coming out, like the young super team.
Yeah.
Miles Morales and
Malcon
and Amadeus Cho Hulk and et cetera, et cetera. Number one at their book fairs. And
so it's going to be the individual
I'm pretty
issues?
Sure, yeah. It's actually the number one issue.
That's interesting because I don't think they've never really dealt with individual issues.
That's just a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kids...
Yeah.
Kids, it's so hard for kids to find comics. If you have like a book fair or something, you can get something cool in there, like a Marvel comic, which is... I would think would be very popular. And there's been a lot of pre-orders. I think there have been like 400,000 pre-orders or more for this book. Maybe that's why.
Well, it looks like a good book.
Yeah.
Insane every month.
Mark Waid, down with that. It's the same creative team that brought us the Impulse solo series from the 90s, which
all the past creations to go to, that's what I would refer to.
What is up? That's what I refer to.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I know. Titan Publishing Group, Titan Comics. Apparently DC, they're trying to trademark the name Titan Comics because they're publishing more and more comics. They've done a lot of stuff, Titan. British publishing company.
Yeah.
So DC is opposing their trademark for Titan Comics because, you know, they have the Teen Titans.
Also, Attack on Titan's been canceled.
Now DC has just announced their next live action movie, Attack on Teen Titans.
Yep. Sounds good.
I would watch that.
You know, like Titans in like Greek mythology? Mm-hmm. Greek mythology is done. Every copy of every book of Greek mythology burned.
Hey, Greece, you suck. Greece sucks, S-U-X.
Listen, they've got a lot of problems right now. Let's not rub it in.
A new book was announced, which is either going to be in October, November, or December. The press release that I was reading and the interview that I was reading for it was really kind of vague. Like, they mentioned, this thing starts in October. So starting in November, you can get this book in December.
What?
Like, within two sentences, Doctor Strange and Punisher.
Oh.
Magic bullets.
Sold.
Yeah, Doctor Strange with like a spectral shotgun.
That was the one picture I saw.
Yeah.
And I was like, that could work.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
I just pulled out my wallet.
Well,
actually.
Punisher's done that thing where
That's not your wallet.
Remember that book from, I want to say, the early 90s where Punisher fought demons?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
He had like those.
Tragically, I'm pretty sure that was the early 2000s.
Ooh, that's rough.
That's very rough. It was like Marvel Knights.
I mean, to be fair, I really liked Frankencastle, so
yeah.
Who am I to judge? Stephen Strange.
Dragon.
Punisher.
Together at last.
For the first time. For the last time.
For the blast time.
That's kind of a fun combo because there's no reason at all that those two should ever be in the same room together.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And again, they're both very popular right now for good reasons. And
They both got things coming out soon.
Yeah. Hey, well, yeah, like the movie's out in November.
They're taking advantage. They're doing some synergy, and it sounds like it could be a fun... Who's writing it? Who's writing it? Do you know?
John Barber's writing it.
Okay.
And Jason Muir is doing the layouts.
Okay.
And Andrea Ricardo is doing the actual art. The finished art.
I'm going to keep my eye out.
I haven't seen a lot of that lately. A lot of people doing like layouts and finishes.
I thought that was... I hadn't seen that in a while either.
I used to see that all the time when... like it used to be... You know, like a Kirby or a Buscema or Buscema breakdown layout thing, and somebody else would finish it because they were working on five books at the same time, sort of thing.
That sounds like a fun job.
Yeah,
just doing layouts for everything.
I read John Buscema. I always call him Buscema. Buscema. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Buscema.
a biography of him, and that's talking about how later on, once he got very popular, and he was doing like three Conan books and Avengers and whatever, and he would do the layouts. He was like intentionally got pissed off and lazy, and he was just, I'm just doing the fucking layouts. Fuck you! And he actually would get hostile with people. And he would look at
the Wallywood thing, 41 things that always work.
Yeah, yeah.
There are so many shots of people looking at a newspaper.
You can only make comics about people reading newspapers.
So he would always put that in there, like Conan reading a newspaper. In the junk.
Stock market's down.
I need to cut some more.
These will be around forever.
What is best? Not my shares.
What is best in life? What is best in life?
Doonesbury. Oh, I need to go contemplate my stock options on the Tree of Woe.
Contemplate this on the Tree of Woe.
IDW, as of April 2017, will shift their book distribution for their graphic novels in particular from Diamond to Penguin Random House. So, and when I first read this, I was like, oh, that's a major thing. But apparently, DC, Archie, Dark Horse, and several others already deal with them. Marvel deals with Hatchet Client Services. Diamond only deals with, in terms of the graphic novels, not talking single issues, graphic novels. They only deal with Image, Ani, Valiant, and a couple of others, really.
Huh. Yeah.
So,
IDW is probably the biggest one aside from Image that they deal in with that stuff.
And so now they've left.
Now they're gone.
So it's like, you used to think that Diamond had this monopoly of distribution, which they do, but that's more for the actual for singles, single issues.
Yeah.
But and most, more people are buying graphic novels, at least in the casual reading market.
Right. Yeah, and it's more for where they get them from. They don't really get, like, not that they don't get them from the comic book stores, but it's become so mainstream now and so regular that it would go to, they go to Barnes & Noble and Chapters and whatever to get them from there. So that's why they're doing
so this is these. Like literally every store that's not a direct market comic store.
I believe so. I don't know how it works for direct
comic. I don't think it impacts direct market like comic stores. I think Diamond pretty much has like a monopoly there.
I didn't understand because it doesn't really explain
again that. If you're talking about like graphic novels and like book format stuff, I mean, like, that's, yeah, like, it's the wider market is a big
deal. Yeah, it's a pretty big market.
So that's something.
Yeah. Okay, dry stuff aside. In People magazine recently, Steven Tyler, the frontman for Aerosmith, called out James Gunn for a Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2 role because he wants to be in the movie. James Gunn responded very nicely, and I did a couple of tweets just kind of alluding to, you know, like, hey, possibly a part 3.
Hey, Steven Tyler, if you could stay alive for another couple years.
Yeah, really. Well, I guess James Gunn had directed Liv Tyler in a movie before and has met Steven Tyler, but only briefly. It was just kind of like, hey, you know, meet and greet at the premiere or something. So he doesn't really know him, but he's like, seemed like a really nice guy. I'd love to work with him. Maybe for part 3, we'll see what we can do. And this is like on the heels of course, Kurt Russell being in part 2 as Ego. Star-Lord's father, so excited. Which I'm still not totally sold on. I still think it's a fake-out. I think it's a fake-out.
Ego is a fake-out?
I think Ego is a fake-out.
Man, I want a giant Kurt Russell face planet.
I just... It seems like... One it seems like... If, okay,
oh,
it,
like the planet does it. Yeah. Come on.
If the three of us got together and went, okay, Kurt Russell's going to be in a movie. We're not going to let them know what the actual character is because it's going to be Star-Lord's father. Why would you give away... one of the main plot points. We're gonna have him be whatever character. What should we tell everyone the character is? I know. Let's make him a fucking planet. Let's have him be Ego. Like, that seems
there,
to me...
There
like,
is a flip side to that, because if that is, like, a ruse to cover for something, everyone is gonna be crazy disappointed if you don't have a Kurt Russell planet head.
But that's when you do in, like, the DVD release or the Blu-ray release, you have a little extra bit.
But I'm saying, you're walking out of the theater. It's
what
like,
Ego was doing during Guardians?
You're just floating around. Hello, I'm Kurt Russell. And there's also I think I knew this, but I totally forgot about it. That Stallone is supposed to be in part 2.
Oh
as
yeah,
well.
I heard
he's
that
a member of the Nova Corps. Which, when I thought about that, he was Judge Dredd. It's going to be almost the exact same costume.
I know. And I'm sure they're aware of that. I'm sure they're going to have some fun.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Just him probably have the exact same line from the Judge Dredd movie in say like one line and then
like, we got trouble.
Justice will be served.
We got trouble with those guys. With who? The law.
The law.
That's my Stallone.
The law. I am the law. You betray the law. Law.
I just want to say, who do you think Steven Tyler would play? I have one suggestion.
Okay, give it. I got nothing.
Corsair.
Oh,
because he's a pirate.
No.
He's doing the piratey
thing. Yuck.
Corsair, he's like, he's Corsair in like space rehab or something.
Oh,
you know what?
He's got like the piratey look already.
Yeah, he does. And he's got like a weird.
He totally would.
Jack Sparrow goatee right now.
Yeah.
Let me think. Are there any aliens that look like skeletons?
he's playing death.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Oh,
what is this?
The Quiz Champions Koozie.
Oh,
yes!
Alright, we're doing a quiz.
Take it if you can, you son of a bitch.
Quiz Koozie.
I'll f***ing eat you alive!
I'm not sure one of this is getting cut, so I'm just going to introduce what has just happened. So for today's warm-up, we're doing a quiz. I will be the quiz master. There are only 5 questions. It's going to be short. So whoever gets 3 or more wins. Kyle just brought out the koozie.
The sleeping giant.
Previously seen a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Has it been that long?
No, it was episode 50, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, the winner of the quiz is bequeathed.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's bequeathed with...
with the koozie. So that's good. It's Sleeping Giant Northern Lager koozie.
I totally forgot about that.
Listen, same. It's good enough for a prime minister to wear in his chest.
Yep.
You can wrap it around your beer and then have some drinking times.
You can wrap the prime minister around your beer?
Oh.
I can wrap him around my chest.
So it's true of all but one kind of thing, except with one exception where it's,
Just say, do the questions.
Go.
Just get into it. Okay, question number one, and the question is, which group of the following was Black Panther not a member of? A, the Defenders. B, Fantastic Force. Not four.
Force.
Force. C, the Crew, which was a short run, Christopher Priest wrote it. It was like a short, it didn't last very long, but it was like a team book in like the 2000s.
Okay.
And D, Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight.
Defenders.
Oh, you're both unfortunately wrong.
He wasn't. Oh, did you say Christopher Priest to throw us off?
I think so.
I sure did.
That's the only way.
I sure did.
Son of a bitch.
So does nobody get that point?
I guess.
Well, you get the point then.
He was in the Defenders, like classic Defenders, Fantastic Force, apparently briefly in. Alpha Flight is maybe a bit of a cheat, but the current Alpha Flight, he's a member of the Board of Governors.
Oh.
Like the cosmic sort of Alpha Flight where Captain Marvel was in charge of.
Yeah.
So he's technically a member of that group in a sense. Okay. The Crew, which had a number of characters. It had, like, War Machine. It had Casper Cole, the White Tiger, which was introduced in Christopher Priest's Black Panther run, but not Black Panther himself.
Okay.
So the Crew is the one. Sorry, that one was difficult.
No, so it's point. No, point for you.
Point for me. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Question number two. Which of the following Green Lanterns, main Green Lanterns, has not used a yellow power ring? Hal Jordan, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner.
John Stewart?
Kyle Rayner.
Kyle's right. John Stewart is the only one who's not used a yellow power ring. Hal did at a certain point.
Kyle's used all the rings.
Has he?
He has. And he was also, you know, Kyle and Hal were technically parts of the Sinestro Corps at certain points.
Rainbow Lantern.
Guy Gardner used, after he lost his ring.
That's right.
He had Diamond Tail. It was Sinestro's ring, actually. He used it for his run where he, And John Stewart, based on the best of my research, if anyone can prove me wrong, then I will give the point back.
Right before he left
the show. Has not used. Yeah, right before.
Yep.
has not used a yellow power ring. All right.
All right.
Which character of the following has not faced off against Hitler?
Raphael is definitely on that list.
Okay, well, A, Raphael. I'm not kidding. A, Raphael.
For the millions.
B, Bucky Barnes. C, Batman. D, Gotenks from Dragon Ball Z. E, Hellboy.
Hellboy?
Batman.
You're right.
Yeah.
Batman, in story, there's been plenty of covers where he was like punching like with Hitler in the mix, but in actual stories, he's not actually fought Hitler.
Right.
I don't think that's ever happened.
I'm like,
in story, wasn't there like some sort of force field around the area that all the superheroes?
Yeah, you got to explain certain things.
Yeah,
that's the weird thing. You would figure for sure that like Batman definitely fought Hitler at some point in his very long history, but based on my research, he has not.
Hmm.
And again, if I'm wrong, call me out. That's fine. There was a Dragon Ball Z movie where Gotenks.
Yeah, I mean that's not canon.
That's not
movies
canon.
Are not canon. I mean, come on.
And Hellboy killed Hitler. There was Mecha Hitler in one story, like in the 50s, apparently, in his canon, where Hellboy killed Hitler. So, good job. And apparently Bucky Barnes did, too, but there's some... But apparently Jim Hammond...
But which one was the real Hitler?
That's the thing. There were clones, man. There's so much going on here.
I'm seeing double here.
Too many Hitlers.
Too many Hitlers.
A lot of ins, a lot of outs.
You've been double Hitler.
All right, so...
So we each got a point.
Oh, that's what's going on. Oh, man. Yep. Okay, this is cool. So which Robin in issues had the shortest career as Robin? Like which character had the shortest career as Robin? Because there have been multiple Robins.
The female one.
Yes, Stephanie. Unless it's like Carrie.
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. So it's...
You technically just won.
Okay.
So Carrie, well, the four issues of Carrie, Dark Knight Returns and when Dark Knight Strikes Again happened, which, whatever, she was Catgirl. So she was really only Robin for those four issues. Stephanie Brown was technically for eight total issues she appeared as Robin. So there you go. And Robin the Toy Wonder from DC 1 Million appeared in 15, which is more than both of those two combined. So really, where's the Toy Wonder's love?
Ugh.
All right, so which Doctor character, which Doctor did not technically earn their doctorate? Doctor Strange, Doctor Octopus, Doctor Doom, Doctor Druid, or Doctor Manhattan?
Doctor Doom?
You're right.
Really?
Well, yeah, because Reed Richards.
Richards! Richards! Fuck!
They
all could have. There's
Doctor Strange. Well, Doctor Strange is a surgeon. He's a doctor. Doctor Octopus has a PhD in nuclear physics.
Yep.
Doctor Doom, again, he effectively dropped out of college and ran off because Richards.
He finished at Latveria University.
Well, he got an honorary doctorate from Latveria, but that doesn't count.
That's like an episode of Home Improvement where Tim Allen got an honorary doctorate.
Listen, if Tim Allen can get a doctorate that way, it doesn't. In advanced gruntology, yes.
Yeah. In more power.
Dr. Druid is a psychiatrist, yeah. And Dr. Manhattan is a PhD. He's an official doctor, but Dr. Doom, guy, never earned
all right.
it.
Mr. Doom.
Huh? Keep a
koozie. So Kyle won with 3 right, and the koozie stays with him.
I need to make sure to bring this koozie next time there's a quiz.
Another quiz, yeah.
What the f***?
So we're on to the main topic. How do we explain this main topic? It's
Gambit sucks.
Gambit sucks.
Finally. Finally. Zero issues.
Okay, so
what we're doing.
He hasn't been used well. I was reading the Wikipedia article on Gambit just as a refresher, and Gambit had a couple solo series. He had a couple limited sort of team books. And it's been said that Marvel isn't interested in doing another Gambit book because of it's just diminishing returns on the character for so long now.
Yeah.
So we're here to fix that today.
Yeah.
We're going to attempt to.
Okay, we're each going to do a pitch on how to sell him in a new comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a pitch of how to sell him in... like on screen.
We're just going
to
talk a whole bunch of Gambit.
Yeah,
welcome basically. To the Gambit episode. This episode's going to be very popular amongst the female listeners.
What?
I hope. I don't know.
LL Cool G.
Yeah.
Ladies love cool Gambit.
Uh-huh.
Everybody loves cool Gambit. I sure wish there was one.
Let's do comics first.
Absolutely.
You want to go?
Yeah. I have a Gambit comic pitch. It is basically a heist book, 12-issue limited series. Gambit, who is still sort of hanging out at the school. He's drawing a steady paycheck from it.
Yeah.
So he's got his own place. he doesn't have to. Who wants to live at a school? That's weird.
It is very weird.
It's super weird. So he's got a place in the village. And some Thieves Guild guy from, who knows where. Gambit knows a million people. He's been all over the world as a thief. He's approached by this guy who's like, hey, Remy, I found your birth mother. I will kill her. Gambit was stolen by the Thieves Guild as an infant from a hospital. He's got no, real connection with this woman. It's just some lady he happened to come out of. I know, your whole extended family. You can have this, or I can just kill these guys, get something for me. There's something at Project Pegasus that I would like. They would never miss it. It's not some sort of supervillain device that's going to allow me to destroy the world or take over the world. It's just something that I want. So if you do this for me, I will, let your biological family be. If you don't, I will kill them all, and there's innocent blood on your hands. Again, hey Gambit.
Right.
So basically, Gambit putting together a team of thieves and C and D list characters who we haven't seen in a few years. Like mentioned a couple episodes ago, the X-Men have a lot of ancillary characters who they haven't used much.
Yeah.
Finally, another use for a long neck.
Is the coast clear? Let me
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Sold. I'd also like to see Gambit and Phantom X sort of being like George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
Love it.
That sounds fun.
Clooney and Pitt in trench coats.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, like, you know, limited series, no Mr. Sinister.
Right.
No real Thieves Guild stuff.
That's all I can see in your book.
Yeah, in
no Mr. All Sinister. Caps. All caps.
And even, like, his birth mother could die at the end of the book. Like, she could just die of old age. And that'd be fine, because Gambit doesn't give a shit. He doesn't know these people.
Talking about old age, Gambit turned it, like, revealing Gambit is 59 years old.
Oh, yeah, and he always has been.
He always has been.
He's like Luke Perry.
Gambit look good, no?
And if they
Gambit look good, no? Huh?
If they adapted into a movie, Luke Perry could play Gambit.
Oh, you did both. So good. Nice. That's believable to me. That works.
Nice, nice.
So that's my Gambit pitch.
Yeah, all right.
I like it. For a comic, at least. Introducing all the members of his team. And there doesn't have to be 12 of them. There could be 6 because that's a, you know, manageable cast.
Yeah.
Give them all like a... Ace of clubs.
Or get 12 and just, like, kill 6 off right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sinister 6.
They're mutants that people haven't used in a while. How are they not dead yet?
Yeah.
And Don Cheadle's also there.
Yeah.
as War Machine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I like it.
Where is the challenge to this still-proud Master Thief?
Mine would actually sort of be predicated on him being kind of, you know...
A scumbag?
Yeah, well, not having the best reputation. Basically being, like, not, you know, he hasn't served on, like, a major X-Men team in a while. He might sort of just be considered kind of, like, a washout failure. He might be considered, like, unreliable. Like, he's kind of maybe on the outs with the X-Men because he's been multiple times. And Xavier basically sort of recruiting him. Yeah, Xavier's back, whatever. It's going to happen sooner than later.
Yep.
Recruiting him to basically do a little espionage, like international espionage. So here's, like, a heist thing. It's very,
like an X-Force sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But he's, like, sort of, like, you know, cast out. Like, basically has to, like, play up. Like, Gambit has to, like, play up the fact that he's basically a failure.
Okay.
Nobody cares about Gambit anymore. It's like, you know.
Nobody care about Gambit, no.
Exactly. Just make that, put that in the text.
They forgot the name, no?
Yeah. And the idea that, again, there's, like, constantly, like, you know, the world elites and stuff like that. There's a lot of, like, anti-mutant conspiracies going on. And he has to sort of, like, do the international espionage kind of thing. He's like a Cajun dirtbag James Bond kind of a thing, trying to get to the bottom of things and stop this.
Oh, there's no more spice in Gambit's gumbo.
But yeah, like, he's trying to, like, he's sort of playing up
Gambit
that.
Gambit going to save the day. Are you sure, Gambit?
No.
I guarantee.
But it's sort of the thing. Like, he's trying to, one, he has to, like, very much humble himself by having to basically come across as, like, a washout failure who's basically willing to, like, sell out his own kind, which, you know, would be argued that maybe he kind of has in the past, while he's, like, secretly, like, doing a very important mission to actually save a lot of lives. So he's sort of, like, rehabbing himself, rehabbing his own self-respect and stuff like that. And again, they would probably be, like, work better as a limited run kind of a thing, where he's sort of, like, out in the cold doing this kind of a thing for Xavier, and where it could sort of, if he succeeds, he could actually sort of redeem himself and actually sort of prove that he's still, you know, worth having around.
Huh.
That was just my thought.
No, it's good.
Like Which, it. Again, like, there's similar elements with the heist thing and the espionage thing for sure, so I guess, well, like, that does lend itself pretty well to Master Thief, I would guess. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Rogue. I parked the car.
This one, Cal and I were talking about it online, and we're kind of working out, like, what is the question exactly?
Yeah.
You had mentioned it was the thing that clicked with me. It was like, oh, you do it like a Hawkeye book, where it's, and I actually thought that's where you were going to take it, is more of kind of a cheeky sort of, like, off-center sort of book.
Yeah.
Like, kind of funny or whatever. So I was like, well, I can't do something because I thought you were going to.
I feel like my book is absolutely
in a different way than I thought it is. So my idea was to embrace his Louisiana roots. Like I said, because part of it is the
Gambit becomes a detective.
But it's kind of the idea, like we always make fun of with the accent and the Cajun and like all the stupid things that are kind of played
up
on.
Do we do that?
We do a little bit. So my idea was he's in Louisiana and kind of along the same sort of lines that he's a joke to the X groups.
Yeah.
Really. Like nobody
has
really
been for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, yeah. And, but you acknowledge that in the book that.
Right. Like didn't he used kind to of a be like one of the main X-Men?
Yeah. Like, yeah. He was in like all these groups and then all of a sudden disappears. So now he's in Louisiana. Start the story right around Hurricane Katrina and you make it political.
Okay.
Embrace where he lives and make it far less superhero-ish and more local, racial, political, and environmental. And it's almost like a noir book that's got a political bent to it. And like drop the stupid costume.
Yeah, he's just a guy.
He's just a guy. He's got these powers, but this is where he lives. And you start to kind of just work him into that. What, like really, this is a big national thing with race and environment and a lot of social politics that are going on right now in the States. They're coming to a head, and Louisiana is kind of at the forefront of a lot of that right now.
Of course.
So it's a good way to do those kind of stories is take that character that's been kind of forgotten and actually use them in an interesting way that normally wouldn't be used in that way, I guess. And then have a couple of other characters to bounce off of that are more like street level sort of stuff, like Misty Knight, Heroes for Hire. You can have him team up with villains that are like low-key kind of villains that, you know, maybe I wouldn't normally I would be fighting you if I'm a superhero, but you know what? We're trying to save my neighborhood, or we're trying to do this, or like
we have like
battling authority in whatever sort of sense, because he's a thief. So he's going to be battling authority in terms of the police corruption or whatever.
Kind of like
you can utilize those two characters. And he's
That Ant-Man book now where he's like hanging around with kind of like loser, like low level villains who aren't really evil or anything like that, and just sort of like having that somebody who sort of like kind of straddles that line. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, when you started your pitch, I was thinking like Gambit goes home and he's like a big hero there.
That, or he's a complete nobody there and just play it that he's like a big loser, and he's a loser in the X groups. He's a loser and whatever. He goes back home and like only a couple people really know him and acknowledge him. Otherwise, like, oh, fucking guy's back. Like that sort of thing. Or you can go full ridiculous and have Mike Allred doing a Gambit's Avengers book with D-Man, Punisher 2099, Sleepwalker,
oh my God.
Star Fox, Sabra, and then put Squirrel Girl in it just so that people read it.
Oh, okay. There it is. Yeah.
I don't know why we gotta drag Sabra through the mud every time. I don't know a goddamn thing about Sabra.
Squirrel Girl's just openly asking, like, why she's hanging around with these people.
Yeah, yeah. She just pops in every now and again.
Don't I have better things to
Everybody
do?
Everybody good? Yeah, okay. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, at least in terms of books, we just pitched three Gambit books that I would like to read.
Yeah.
And I don't like Gambit.
Yeah.
Really. I don't know the character, but...
Again, as always, it comes down to the story.
Yeah.
You can take any character. I'm a firm believer. You can take any character that's a big pile of shit that everybody hates, and if you tell the right story, you can turn that around and take the worst parts of that character, and you can play them up or play them down or whatever and make it interesting.
You know, I feel bad when I take it back. I don't hate Gambit. I just feel like he hasn't been handled properly.
No.
In a long time.
Yeah. I liked him when he first came out. Yeah. I enjoyed the character. I was actually just recently read through a lot of my old Uncanny X-Men books, and I got to the point where he was introduced. It is a completely different character, really.
I, for some reason, know the exact issue number. It's Uncanny X-Men number 266.
Is it?
Why do I know that? I don't even like Gambit. Why do I know this?
With Baby
At least
Storm.
I went back and said I didn't dislike the character. You're just like, no, fuck him.
Well, I mean,
burn his house down.
Yeah. Again, all the books that we pitch, I'm like, that sounds pretty good. Yep. Like, I would, you know what I mean? That would make me like him. I'm just saying.
Yep.
If anyone at Marvel is listening, got three solid pitches here. Come on.
Just make the lights flicker on and off.
Yeah. That's how we'll know.
I mean, they own the power, right?
They're owned by Disney. They own everything.
Gambit, a natural athlete.
So what about movies? You know, I have one.
Yeah.
That's good. For movies, I mean, like, are they actually still making that movie?
They keep delaying
it. I don't know
the
Channing Tatum thing. I don't know.
Does anyone... Who
actually... Is it going to be in the Deadpool movie?
Yeah, well, maybe that's what's going to happen now, because who knows. Does anyone actually want a Gambit solo movie? Like, anyone in the world?
If there's a good Gambit solo book beforehand.
Ah,
okay,
there
well,
it
here's
is.
Here's my pitch. I know this can't happen. So we're crossing over into territory we can't actually go into. Yeah. But my idea is you have to trick people into liking Gambit.
Well, I feel like that's... You're coming from a wrong...
No, angle. No, I... Just
I also feel like that's our episode title.
Okay, you gotta go with me on this. I know it's not possible, but you want to introduce him into the Netflix series stuff. But okay. not his own series.
No.
He gets introduced into one of the other ones as a secondary character under a different name, without the costume, no powers or anything. He's just a fighter. Because that's partially what he is. He's got the staff. You can give him the staff. That'll be the only cue if you want to see that. You can drop the accent and whatever. Like, because everybody from Louisiana does not have a Cajun accent.
Agree to disagree.
And just have him as a fighter. So you have him pop in kind of as a secondary character. Ooh, that Black appears Gambit. Up. You could, totally. And he's a fighter. And you get to kind of like him. But you want to make him a dick. Make him a smart ass. Like, he's the funny guy, kind of like Cassidy in Preacher.
Yeah. Right.
So you get to like him because he's such a jerk.
Right.
And then you get to a certain point, then he gets cornered or something happens in the story, and all of a sudden you show his powers. And then it comes out, and there's the big reveal, and you're like, fuck, I like Gambit. Damn it!
Which of the Netflix shows would you have him in?
I would put him in a Luke Cage or a Iron Fist.
Underground fighting ring thing.
Yeah, or even Jessica Jones, because it's like any of those you could really work
put them in Iron Fist. They're both, they got like the glowy hand related power things going on. Come on, that works. It does not. That was stupid.
Or you could have them with Luke Cage for a while and they team up and realize it doesn't work and then he finds Danny Rand.
I can't really start a business with you. This isn't...
This is not going to work.
No, you're not reliable. This isn't good.
Keep stealing all my pens and exploding them.
There's ink everywhere.
You say, fuck NRT every time you do it.
It's real annoying in a lot of levels. I don't have anything. And also, that's easily the best. Trick people into liking Gambit is pretty much the only way to do it.
That's really, really good. I didn't even think of, like, you know, going not Fox. Because I did put some thought into it. And, like, how would you introduce him? Like, the next one is 90s, I assume. Because that's what they're doing now.
I don't know.
Or you make
They're running on fumes.
You know what would be interesting?
You make him ridiculous. Give him a mullet. And like a
no.
Yeah, yeah. Like go full. Oh, what's his name? Danny McBride.
Oh, no.
Danny McBride Gambit.
I thought you were going to say Billy Ray Cyrus, who looks a little bit like Gambit.
You know what? We spent an entire episode making me like Gambit. Now I hate him more than ever.
Okay, well, the next Wolverine movie, which is, you know,
that always works out well.
Just to some degree. Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
I mean, Gambit was in that first one.
Oh, God.
He really was. I know you look confused.
I've seen him.
Gambit was in a movie.
I don't hate that version of Gambit as much as a lot of
others. No, he was just forgettable.
But it was just, the whole thing was mishandled.
Yeah.
I don't hate that movie as much as a lot of people do.
I hate helicopters. You know who else hates helicopters? My buddy Wolverine.
You know what? Yeah, do it. Taylor Kitsch needs some work right now, I think. He needs it. All right.
Like, we got four good Gambit pitches.
Yeah.
And a bunch of dumb jokes.
I guarantee.
Moment of zero, zero, zero. Moment of zero, zero, zero.
I'm doing a creator spotlight on Jack Cole.
Oh!
I probably shouldn't have pulled that out yet.
Who's Jack Cole?
Born in 1914, died in 58. American comic book artist and illustrator. Mainly was involved during the kind of the Golden Age time of comics. He worked on the original Golden Age Daredevil. Like, not the Daredevil we know, but
right.
What was the character called?
The Daredevil, red and blue guy?
He worked for Quality Comics in the 40s for a good stint. He was a ghost artist for Will Eisner on The Spirit. And then in Quality Police Comics number 1 from 1941, he introduced Plastic Man, which is his main, most well-known creation. With offbeat kind of humor and quirky stories, it really kind of won over the public and for the time. And when I was looking this up, I didn't realize how long it ran. It ran for over a decade, for a comic in the like 30s, 40s, 50s, for a comic to run that long is, I don't want to say unheard of, but it's like Batman, Superman, you know.
Yeah,
there like were Justice League. There's a handful of them that went that long, and I didn't realize he was actually that much of a big character. Although, like a lot at the time, some of them they eventually turned into like not reruns, but like reprints of of earlier stories and stuff. But it carried on for like the last few years before it died out, and they were just reruns. And then in 1954, he started working for Playboy. And doing the cartoons.
Latex Man.
I'm a child. He would do like these watercolor, like kind of one-off editorial jokes, like those sort of like one panel sort of things.
New Yorker style comics.
But he started in the fifth issue of Playboy in 1954. And from then on, he had a cartoon in Playboy at least once a month for the rest of his life. So he became a really a mainstay in Playboy for doing these like watercolor kind of cheeky, you know, like the
nudie girl
joke sort of thing, and did quite well with it. It was actually Playboy had licensed the second thing that Playboy ever licensed for merchandise was one of his things.
Hmm.
Like the first one was there's the Playboy insignia as cufflinks. That's what they sold first. The second thing were like a set of like napkins, dinner napkins with his jokes on them, with the paintings and the jokes on the napkins.
Huh.
So it shows you how...
not a Jet Cole fleshlight.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what? The original version of that joke in my head was much more lewd.
Oh. Yeah. But then on August 13th, 1958, it all came to an end. He was living just northwest of Chicago. Around 2 p.m., he tells Dorothy, who is his wife, he says, I'm going to go to get the mail and newspapers. He drives to a local sports shop where he buys a .22 caliber rifle. He calls a friend around quarter after 5:30, and it's one of the neighbors, and tells the neighbor, tell my wife I'm ending it. And by 6 p.m., three boys find him parked on a gravel road off the interstate, and he shot himself in the head. But he's still alive. So the sheriff and the ambulance and everybody arrive. They rush into the hospital. By 6:45, he's dead. The next morning, two notes arrive in the mail. One for his wife, Dorothy, and one to Hugh Hefner. The first one for his wife basically outlines, it's the full explanation of why he just killed himself. During the coroner's inquest into his death, she said that he gave his reasons is basically all she said. The note was never introduced into evidence because it's a different time. Like now, if that ever happened, that note would automatically have to be put into evidence, and that would be part of the trial or the inquest. At that point, there's a couple people, like the coroner and whoever, a few of others involved, had read the note and said it's of a very personal nature and it doesn't give any light beyond what it does.
Right.
And we're not going to enter it into evidence. She never spoke of it again. She remarried and basically disappeared. Not disappeared as in like mysteriously disappeared, but like just out of public eye, she disappears. The one to Hugh Hefner is actually in this book. I have this book that's in my lap here, Jack Cole and Plastic Man by Art Spiegelman and Chip Kidd, which is a really cool book. This is where it kind of introduced me to it. I'd heard a little bit about him, and it's like this weird, almost like a scrapbooky sort of thing. Like it's got some of the stories.
All sorts and of... Wait, is it actually different papers or is it just...
Yeah, it's totally different papers. Like, so you have like the original newsprinty sort of print.
That's weird. That's...
From the old... Really when they do the old comics, depending on when they came out.
Yeah.
And then some of the new stuff interspersed. And then also just like stuff on him, on his life and who he was and what was... And you get to a certain point where... You get to this point where you're talking about him having killed himself. This is the note that he sent to Hugh Hefner, which basically says, I won't read it, but like when you read this, I will be dead. And I just want to say thank you. You've been a great boss. You've been a great friend. I don't want to go on hurting people. And nobody really knows what he meant by that. And,
apparently alludes a little bit to owing Hugh Hefner some money, but he said once the estate is settled, you'll be paid for your money, so that will all be square. You know, just thanks for everything and done, sort of thing. Like, it doesn't really shed any light on anything, but posthumously, he's been inducted into the Jack Kirby Hall of Fame, the Will Eisner Award Hall of Fame. His story, Murder, Morphine, and Me, was one of the central images and stories used in Dr. Frederick Wortham's Seduction of the Innocent.
Oh, boy.
Which you know the picture when you see it. Let's see if it's in here. It's basically a story about drug use, obviously, but there's like one infamous picture. It's basically like a hypodermic needle being about to be put into the girl's eye.
No, I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah, so, like, this is one of the central images.
All those innocents are being seduced. I'm the innocent in this situation.
But, yeah, so, like, and that's been notoriously used and reused. And it's the doped-up narrator with a hypodermic needle about to stick it in her eye panel. But really, like, his legacy is Plastic Man has been one of the few Golden Age heroes to actually make it through. It was a very popular time, died off for like whatever, a decade or two,
yeah,
or even three. I'm not even sure when he was reintroduced, but
even just from like the cover, even just you see how, you know how like stiff,
yeah,
a lot of the Golden Age stuff, I know, is, and just like just this, you know what I mean? Like, that's really impressive for the time.
Yeah. Like, and it's that cross between like the Golden Age stuff. Like, you had a lot of there was the superhero stuff, and then there was the, like, the goofy funny book, yeah, stuff. He had this cross between the two where he could play off of it. Like, here's his sidekicks and the other characters that had a very funny book sort, yeah, of look, yeah, to them, rather than like not a realistic person's head sort of thing. And it, like, almost, right, like, you know, like Will Eisner's spirit, wherever, like, all the villains have those, just like very iconic,
exaggerated,
like, yeah,
they've got very different silhouettes, very recognizable,
exactly,
silhouettes.
Exactly.
You're even just seeing like just really creative ways like the powers are used, especially for the time where you wouldn't see that as
a big
much.
Yeah, yeah, a big
where,
thing to me that
where Green Lantern would be like boxing glove glove,
right, exactly,
cage. Like, yeah, like there's like wrapping his head around with his neck and just stuff like and it's
so
like,
inventive.
And just and the motion, and it's for the time.
Oh God!
Is really, yeah,
that's next.
It's
level.
Quite,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's totally stunning, and it's really interesting to see. But yeah, so that's my little spotlight.
You know, that was a very
Jack Cole.
That was a, you know, kind of a dark and sad, riveting story, and it's an interesting way to end an episode.
Let's all go think together.
Yeah.
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 So.
We should put up a suicide prevention line now.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I've got a couple numbers.
Do you?
Yeah.
Put them up with the episode.
Well, they're, yeah, I'll put them up with the episode.
There we go.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, why not?
If you need help, reach out.
Not us. Yeah. We're no help. Dang.
Not us.
No.
Well, no, he can't us.
We like, guarantee.
Oh. Oh, who are we?
Yeah, who are we indeed?
Oh. Monsters.
I'm Bri Kotick. I guess I'll go first. My comic is at welcometohereafter.com. And all of us, I believe, next month are going to be at,
yeah,
ThunderCon.
We'll be at ThunderCon.
I'm just going to mention that. You can look at my comic at welcometohereafter.com. But I'll have, we have merchandise. I know I have my book. I still have some covers in my book and my mugs and stuff. So if you're going to be in Thunder Bay Area, come by ThunderCon and check us out.
We said,
but we don't know what we're doing.
We don't know.
Like,
what we're
we
doing.
Know that we're doing panel stuff.
Yeah. Well, once we get a little closer, I'll send,
yeah,
them a message.
And we'll post that on the Facebook page. Zero, yeah, Issues on Facebook.
Also, well, okay, I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. My two existing books, Victor's Legacy and Nowadays, you can get on there. I'm almost out of Victor's Legacy, and I don't think there'll be any more printings of it soon.
I got one.
Me too.
But my third one is going to be coming out soon. And I think by ThunderCon, I will have begun. My aim is to begin it that day or the day before the Indiegogo campaign to raise funds for the printing. So you can pre-order my book, Seasons of the Dead Hour. So that'll run for like a month and a half or whatever,
cool.
Starting then. That's the plan.
I've noticed that your updates looking,
yeah,
real nice.
I've been working feverishly trying to finish the inking, and I've been you know, when you just get in that good flow.
Yeah.
And things are just like flying. I rarely know what that is. I've had it happen occasionally,
and it's like, oh, yeah, this flow has lasted a solid hour, but I have to stop now for stupid reasons.
Yeah.
I've been going for several weeks where I've gotten at least one page done a day.
Ugh.
Sometimes I got, there were a couple days I got three pages done in one day, and I was like,
I hate you so much.
Although, one time I got 10 pages done in a day.
No, actually today is the first day.
And probably, anyone who doesn't get that done on a regular basis is a failure.
But let me also explain that I've been working on this book for like 4 years.
Okay, fair
enough. So, yeah. You can follow Merc on Facebook, and I will post updates about all that, and links and stuff.
And I'm Kyle Lees. You can also check my stuff out on Facebook, because, I mean, that's like website prime, right?
For sure.
That's the first one you go to. I check that before I check emails from my loved ones.
Like, on purpose.
Yeah. But I post stuff almost every day, if not every other day. Comics, commissions that I've done, poetry, all sorts of crazy crap. I'm a real bon vivant, I guarantee. Thanks, as ever, to Ocean City Defender for giving us fucking kick-ass music.
Yeah,
it's great.
Oh, I haven't cursed in like 20 minutes. Oh, it feels good.
Amazing.
Oh, that was the cursed refractory period.
Yeah. We got to earn that explicit tag.
Yeah. You gosh darn know it.
Bet your boots.
Yeah, shit. Also, like, if you like the show, if you're a fan, or just some dude that likes listening to three idiots, tell a friend.
Counting
or
on it.
Share it around with people. Maybe give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. I don't know if there's reviews on Stitcher.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, if you like the show, tell somebody. Yeah. It'd be great.
Tell somebody you love.
If you hate the show, tell someone you hate. As long as you tell somebody.
Spread it like a cold.
Spread it like Gambit seed.
Oh.
Ugh.
Cut that.
He guarantee?
He guarantee. Gambit and Hawkman.
Together at last.
For Gumbo?
Oh, they're roommates. God damn it. Why can't Marvel and DC play nice? Finally.
Whoever's editing that, do that. Just put
please
it in.
Please do. Oh, if only we could end there.
Well, we'll definitely do a fake ending there.
No, for sure. That's as definitive as
okay, we'll do the fake ending, and then we'll do a couple seconds of silence, and then let's pick it up.
Yeah.